don't feel bad if you forgot who I was. You wouldn't be the first one. We're thankful to be back in the house of the Lord here on the Lord's Day. And we appreciate the Lord letting us come and be with you all. And to commemorate the Lord's blessings on you for the last 60 years. And His provision, His help, and His sustaining grace. And we thank the Lord that He has done all these things, and we give Him the praise, and we do thank the church for all the work you did to be able to host services and have the brethren come, sister churches, and it's a lot of work, and we pray that the Lord will bless you and help you, and anytime there's a lot of work, it's just like we heard preached yesterday. That's one of the things where the devil can bring in temptations. And, you know, he don't care what's going on. He's going to try. You know? And he can take advantage of anything. We have a lot of weaknesses, don't we?
Amen.
And he has studied them very well. So we pray God will help you and that you will be able to do as the Scriptures say and rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
If you would, turn your Bibles to Psalm number 94. We appreciate the offering that the church gave us. And give God thanks for that also. And we appreciate our church back home and their prayers and support of us. And so you be in prayer for them as well. Those that are they're listening in. God's enabled them to do that. And so you be in prayer for us. We'll be in prayer for you. Psalm number 94. And I'm going to read the entire psalm. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the nations, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous, and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Now there are so many wonderful truths that God has given us here in this psalm. And I want to only note one particular theme. And if you'll reread with me verses 12, 13, and 14, he said, "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance." My subject is not forsaken of God. Not forsaken of God. Now, one of the thoughts that troubled the ancient people of God when evil seemed to be triumphing and wickedness prevailing, when the righteous were under great affliction and distress, and when the ways of the Lord were being forgotten and forsaken by men, was the anxious fear that the Lord had cast them off. And this is a thought that the devil seeks to plant in the minds of every child of God. He tempts us to think that our service to God is futile and will not come to any good. I do not think there's any child of God that will go through their earthly lives without at some point thinking that those words of the psalmist that prophesied of the Lord Jesus Christ don't apply to themselves. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And yet, when we come into the sanctuary, the house of God, and we take our place and learn of Him, we find that it is not so, and that it indeed cannot be so. Because God can no sooner forsake those whose names He has graven in the palm of His own hand than He can cease to be very God of gods. If He could forsake, and if He would forsake, then oblivion would be the destiny of us all. And we could have no wiser course than that which so many follow today. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But in the worst of times, in the most severe of trials, in the most painful of afflictions, we have this bedrock of support upon which we may stand. Jehovah will not cast off His people. Neither will He forsake His inheritance. The wicked, they commit many grievous errors and outrages because they have wrong thoughts of the living and true God. We read that here in this psalm. In verse 7, he said, "Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it." You see, people draw wrong conclusions, don't they? We do the same thing many times. You know, we observe our lives and we observe those around us, and then we begin to draw conclusions, you know. We think, well, this is how it is. If you want to know how it is, you'd better listen to God. But you see, the wicked, they think wrong thoughts of the Lord. And they're fools to think that He who in wisdom fashioned the eye of man cannot Himself see all things. That He who made the ear does not hear the thoughts of the innermost heart. The psalmist said they're like brute beasts in understanding. They think that their secret whispers and their wicked inward thoughts are not heard by Him who made the ear and searches the heart and whose eyes go to and fro in the earth, that He may give every man according to the work of his own hands. Now we who have tasted that the Lord is gracious need to be reminded of the truth, so that our thoughts do not become like the thoughts of the wicked who know not God, based on ignorance and vain imaginings of our own hearts. If we do not have our thinking renewed and transformed by the Holy Spirit's instructions, then we will have all manner of foolish and vain thoughts, and we will form all manner of false and unprofitable conclusions. Mm-hmm. Now, may we thank God that He does not leave us to ourselves.
Amen.
We may thank God, no matter how backslidden in heart and mind we become, no matter how foolish and brutish our thoughts may be, like the psalmist said in the 73rd Psalm, when he said, "I was as a beast before you."
Right.
He chastens and He corrects the children of His love. We read that, did we not? In fact, the psalmist said it's such a wonderful thing that blessed is the man whom Thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of Thy law. He does not forsake His inheritance, that which He has claimed as His own, that He will have and He will keep forever. He will not allow that over which He has toiled with His own blood to come to unfruitful and unprofitable ruin. He will prune the branches that they may bring forth more fruit. He may wait to be gracious, bear long with us, but gracious He will be to those whom He has sealed unto Himself and upon whom He has set His own name. Now I want to consider some instances or examples of those whom God did not forsake. The psalmist here, he says, "The Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake His inheritance." Well, one example is Israel of old. He brought them out of Egyptian bondage. He led them through the wilderness. He brought them into the land of Canaan and drove out the Canaanites before them. He raised up deliverers to deliver them when they cried unto Him. After they got themselves into all manner of trouble. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 12. Now, the Bible says that all these things that happened to them, the whole reason they're recorded in the Word of God, is for our sakes. So we can learn. But notice here in 1 Samuel 12, verse 1. And Samuel said unto all Israel, "Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walketh before you. Now I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood until this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord, before His anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or who have I defrauded, whom have I oppressed? Or whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you." And they said, "Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand." And he said unto them, "The Lord is witness against you, and His anointed is witness this day, that you have not found aught in my hand." And they answered, "He is witness." And Samuel said unto the people, "It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord for all the righteous acts of the Lord, which He did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, He sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord, and said, 'We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord, and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve Thee.' And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel, delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, ye dwelled safe. And when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have desired. And behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. You say, what's the big deal with the little thunder and rain? It was going to ruin their harvest, you see. It wasn't time for thunder and rain. You know, people, a lot of times, they get to caring about the wrong things, don't they? Verse 19, all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the Lord, fear not. You know, how many times does God tell us, fear not? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the cause of most of the foolishness that people do in their lives, is fear. Mm-hmm. Now we ought to fear the Lord. And I'm not talking about the silliness of the behavior of so many people today where they say, well, I'm not afraid of nothing.
Right.
That's not bravery or courage. That's just stupidity. But he says to us, says, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Now that right there sums up the ministry of a man of God. Mm-hmm. Pray for you and teach you the good and the right way. Mm-hmm. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. You see, Israel of old, they had sinned against the Lord and asking for a king so they could be like the other nations. They said, well, we keep having these problems, and so we need someone to go out and fight our battles for us. They forgot the battle was the Lord's. Too often we forget what grand and high privileges and blessings we have as the people of the Lord, and we want to be like the worldlings that we observe from day to day. Well, forsake that thought, but never forsake Him who's called you to life and light through faith in His Son. Oh, what a short-sighted, blind, foolish thought to want to be like the heathen. We've lost all reason, all memory, all sound judgment, if we think it would be better to be like those who walk after the course of this world and who know not God and do not walk in His counsel. Israel of old had to be chastened for such thinking. God be thanked, He chastens us. The worldling loves his money. God teaches us that money takes wings and flies away and is soon gone.
Right.
If riches increased, they are increased that eat them.
Right.
The worldling loves her pleasure, but God teaches us to delight in Him in anticipation of eternal pleasures, and that she who now lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Mm-hmm. Can the unbelieving, unrighteous, ungodly heathen people of the world call upon God as we who have received and been received by Him like sons and daughters do through Jesus' name? Can they cry out to God like we do? They need to cry out to Him to be saved.
Right.
We can call on Him any hour of the day or night.
Amen.
Lord, help us! And how often He has. Can they cast all their cares upon Him? Like He instructs us who are the children of His love and the apple of His eye to do. Can they look forward to eternal bliss in the glorious presence of the ever-living God and King as we do according to His promise? God did not forsake Israel of old.
Right.
We've seen He gave them Samuel the prophet to teach them the good and the right way. He had Samuel anoint David, a man after God's own heart. He gave David to be a captain and a shepherd to feed His people Israel. Not only that, He made an everlasting covenant, the Bible says, even the sure mercies of David, He called it. And every child of God is an heir to that covenant. A recipient of its blessings. The covenant that's sealed by the blood and made sure by the triumph of the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are other examples of those whom God did not forsake. Remember Paul. He was left for years to rot in prison after he'd already suffered so many things for the Lord's sake. And when he had to stand trial before the emperor of the nations, he said at my first answer, my first defense, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me.
Right.
I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord Jesus was forsaken, wasn't He?
Yeah.
In fact, He told the disciples there in John 16, verse 32, He said, you're all going to forsake me and leave me alone. Why did they do it? They were afraid.
Right.
They were filled with fear. He said, and yet I'm not alone, because the Father who sent me is with me. In every generation, God's people have feared that God perhaps has cast them off. They've looked upon things with their eyes and seen as flesh sees. But God is able to show us that which is unseen, which is not temporal but eternal. And upon that we must gaze a while and draw renewed and sure and better conclusions. Look in Isaiah chapter 49. He will not forsake His people. Now all others may forsake you. But don't forsake Him. Who never forsakes His own. Isaiah 49 and verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. You know, generations rise and fall and go to the dust. But he who ever liveth, and in every generation is the same, has sworn with an oath and will not go back, saying, I will not forget thee.
Right.
He will forget our sins.
Right.
Praise be to his wondrous name. But us, never.
Amen.
Look in Romans chapter 11. Now, what I read to you there in Isaiah has an application to the seed of Abraham. And notice here in Romans chapter 11 and verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people?
No.
God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and the tribe of Benjamin. Now, there ain't any of us that can say that, but Paul could.
Right.
He was literally of the seed of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, the faith of Abraham. But you see, he was actually of the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says, and yet, they've forsaken the Lord. He says, well, has the Lord cast them off? He said, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. What, or know ye not what the Scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. That's how we feel a lot of times, isn't it? So, oh Lord, it's down to me. We're all there is. Well, the best thing to do when you feel that way is do what Elijah did. You better tell the Lord about it. At least he got that part right. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. You know, there's a false doctrine in the world that says God no longer has a remnant among the descendants of Abraham, that the grafting in of the Gentiles has supplanted them. That's a gross slander against God's holy and righteous name and a trampling of His unbreakable covenant. Now, God might have always had in mind to save a people for His name from among the Gentiles, and maybe He hid that fact in ages past, but that doesn't change what He swore to do unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You say, well, I don't see how that he can bring it to pass. Well, he gave Ezekiel a little glimpse of it, why he raised up some dead bones and put flesh and blood on them and made them be alive.
Right.
Is there anything impossible with God?
No.
He's not cast off Israel whom he foreknew. He will save the remnant whom he chose from the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It is true. They will not see Him anymore until they say, blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord. But what then? They shall see Him whom they pierced.
Yep.
Whom they gave to spitting and cruel mocking and the death of the cross. And they shall mourn for Him as for an only son. They'll be granted repentance and remission of sins. Just like we were. And a fountain will be opened for cleansing and washing away of all their iniquities and transgressions and sins. Just like we sang in that hymn before the preaching. Come to this fountain. so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. The Holy One has sworn, and He will not go back. He will look upon the palms of His own hands and the names which He Himself engraved there, and will remember His covenant and will perform the oath which He swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm happy to be able to say that the church that I pastor, the Pleasant Plains Baptist Church in Pleasant Plains, Illinois, has not been forsaken by the Lord. I'm happy to say that this church, the Bible Baptist Church of Plant City, Florida, cannot say that her Lord has cast her off or forsaken her. Now I'm happy to say that there's not a member of this body who can say that the Lord has cast them off. No, they may have thought so from time to time. Perhaps some think so today of themselves because of affliction or severe trial and grief that weighs heavily upon them. Nevertheless, we do not stand or rest upon the shifting ground of even our own thoughts. We rest upon the Word of our God who has made the heavens and the earth, whose Word, the Bible says, once shook the earth, and once more He's going to shake it and remove what is temporal so that only the eternal things may remain. Amen. There are many who have forsaken the Lord's work, but not the Lord.
Right.
Now you're going to experience forsaking. You have to partake of the sufferings of Christ that you may partake of His glory. Some have proven untrue, but not He who is truth. Some have proven fair weather friends or fair weather Christians, but Christ has remained the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He has not forsaken the little flock for which He laid down His own life and took it up again.
Amen.
Now, on the authority of Him who has all authority in heaven and earth, I repeat those words of His to you today, and may they be an exhortation to all who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Yep.
Now, what did He tell you to do? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Amen.
Be ready, like wise servants, for the coming of your Lord. And take care of business until He comes.
Amen.
Look in Isaiah chapter 62. Book of the prophet Isaiah chapter 62. And notice the last verse, verse number 12. And here, as Isaiah was allowed of God to look forward into the ages to come, he said, "And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken." Aren't you glad He sought you out? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, if you've never come to Him, we exhort you to do so today. And He said, "He that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out." The prophetic names here in the Scriptures for the people of God are most instructive. The holy people. Didn't He say, "Be ye holy, for I am holy"? The redeemed of the Lord. You were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of God's Lamb, sought out, and a city not forsaken. You know, we see cities across the landscape of our own nation today that have been forsaken, don't we? They're desolate.
Amen.
In ruins. The church of the living God is described in terms of a city in the Scriptures, is she not? Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid." You are the Lord's city, set on an hill. Your business is to shine forth as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life.
Right.
You may lose friends, even those who bear the name of Baptist. You may be considered fools for Christ's sake if you'll not forsake the way of truth and righteousness.
Right.
You may be thought of as a laughingstock by others, like those early churches were in the New Testament. Jesus will never forsake you. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age." We know what forsaken cities look like. This will not be the future of the church of the living God.
Right.
She has a glorious future, because her Savior and Lord and Head and Bridegroom will not forsake her. This church may not be all that some think it ought to be. It may not be what you think it ought to be. You may not be the sort of church member that you ought to be. But you have no reason not to be the kind of church Jesus wants you to be and tells you to be in His Word, because He will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
In fact, in Hebrews 13 it says, "Be content with such things as ye have, and not to be covetous, because He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now, you know what conclusion we can draw from that? The Bible tells you what conclusion. "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." If you will not forsake Him who never forsakes His own, you'll always have what you need. You'll always have reason to rejoice. You'll always have a hope that maketh not ashamed of a glorious future in the presence of the altogether lovely One, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's unreasonable to expect something that God doesn't tell you to expect, isn't it? We say, "Well, I don't want to have any pain. I don't want to have any disappointment. I don't want to have this and that." Well, that all started back in Genesis chapter 3. And it's not going to be done until, as the Lord said, "Behold, I make new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." But if you will not forsake the Lord, He'll never forsake you. He said, "The Lord's with them that be with Him." May we never forsake Him, but be found faithful when He comes. May the Lord bless you. Appreciate that message.
Amen.
And the truth of it. And we'll go ahead and have an intermission till about 11 o'clock. I'll just do about 10 minutes, Frankie. About 2-3 after 11. So we'll have an intermission. Stretch your legs.